Time now to focus on the community on WAMW. Focus on the Community brought to you each week by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Today we begin a two-part series on a very hot topic in our community, and that is the proposed Washington Community Schools Expansion and Building Project. And this is a two-part series. We have invited the other side to discuss the issue and their side of the story to be on the program coming up next week. Today we have the Yes for Washington folks with us, and that is Dave Stowers, a community member, and Dr. Dan Roach, the superintendent of Washington Community Schools. Guys, good morning. Thank you so much for sharing time with us.
Morning, Dwayne.
Dr. Roach, we're going to start with you. Bare facts. We're going to present a lot of information this morning. We're going to make it as clear as possible as what is out there, what is on the table, what is proposed, and hopefully, when it's all said and done, maybe dispel some rumors that are out there, because Dr. Roach, there's certainly a lot of different things that are floating around the community at this time.
Yes, there are, yes.
So let's start with the beginning, the proposed project and what this referendum actually would mean to city residents, and actually it's for everyone within Washington Community Schools, right?
Yes, it really is. And, you know, that's one thing we might want to clarify from the beginning. There are some that assume only those individuals that live within the city limits are able to vote. In fact, it's anyone that lives within the Washington Community School District will be able to vote. On our website, you can find the polling places as they're listed. And some individuals, when they go in to vote, if they live outside of the city limits, will have one item to vote on, and that will be the referendum itself.
And one that stands out would be, of course, the Veal School District, probably, correct?
Yes, yes. We have the Veal and the Harrison areas. And in some cases, the polling places have been combined to a single location to help avoid excessive cost.
Okay, so the proposal on the table, Dr. Roach, can you give us kind of the crib note version of what we're looking at here?
The question asks if the Washington school community will support the fact that we will have a $38 million project. In fact, it's capped at $38 million. That will all be bid dependent, but for a middle school, a 5, 6, 7, 8 school building, and this would be placed on the property that is across the street or across the road, 11th Street from Griffith Elementary.
Now, has this property already been purchased?
We currently own that property along with a few homes that give us access onto Highway 257. So we have 3 access points in and out of that property.
Now, what all is included with the proposal that we're talking about that is on the table?
It's approximately 140,000 square foot building that will include 2 separate wings, so that 7th and 8th will still operate as somewhat as a traditional junior high school. 5th and 6th will be in another section of the building, and that's a 2-level for both of those, and they will share a library. But I guess if I go back for a moment to the 5th and 6th, 5th and 6th has and should be transitional in nature, so they will not commingle between the 4 grade levels during the day. They will have their own areas of study, their own approach to study and so forth, so that kids will be over a period of time transitioning into the reality of high school. When they get to that point in their school career, there will be the fine arts area, so they have art rooms for both of those given levels. There will be a music room, a band room. The cafeterias will be separated. There will be one kitchen that will serve both of those. We have a common meeting space. You have your office complex, library, if I didn't say library already. You have one main gym that would seat 1,200. That would allow for convocations and things of that nature. And then there is a field house. As we took a look at the needs of a school that would have the capacity for 940 students, one gym was not going to be adequate. But if you begin to put in auxiliary gyms, it became very inefficient. So one field house supplied the space for more activities rather than eventually adding on and having separate auxiliary gyms. And within that space, we want to make it really clear, it's not about gym floor space, it's about educational space. Education in this day and age and what it might be over the next 50 years is continuing to evolve. As I tell individuals. When we all went to school, once upon a time, everyone sat in rows, they raised their hands, and while we still have order within the buildings, that's not the educational environment of today, nor will it be the educational environment over the next several decades. Kids need experiential opportunities, and that's what this space would allow throughout the entire building. So it's a solid building, but it is designed in such a way that it will allow for the evolution of our learning opportunities for kids. Then the other element within this is we have an optional football field track facility, and there again, we want to make it quite clear because that has been a misconception among many people. It's optional. It will all be dependent upon the bidding prices once they come in. Can we fit that into this $38 million project or not? You know, it's 2.5 cents of the 48 cents that would be based on $100 of assessed valuation.
So the question is, you know, many may ask, well, why now? And, you know, why not? This is probably the most common response you're hearing. Why not just work on the current buildings that we have? And from my understanding and the research that I've done, a lot of Band-Aids have been put on these buildings over the years, and it's just been pushed off and pushed off and pushed off.
Right. You know, and it's just the way things are funded that becomes problematic in the state of Indiana, but property taxes pay for construction costs. We have a lot of forward-thinking people within our community that recognize the fact that Washington is at a point we can either plan for what might happen over the next several decades, or we can remain stagnant. As we took a look at our current needs and at the elementaries, the fact is the junior high is packed, and it does not allow for any expansion whatsoever in programming, and the high school is full at this point in time as well. When this conversation began 2 years ago, it really focused on the elementaries. And as we took a look at expansion of our elementaries, we had a lot of problems with that because you have buildings that are aging and really would be cost ineffective and a poor use of public resources to add on to some of our buildings. North, it would require adding on to a building that's had a couple of additions over phases in its lifetime, but we would have to then expand out into an area that is in fact a floodplain. Griffith is our best constructed building, but you know, if we're going to take a look at long term, do we begin with that building or do we start at the middle school and try to take care of a K-12 issue versus simply the elementary? We all know that Lena Dunn was built at a time they had so much that they could deal with given resources, but it is not what we would call a 100-year-old building, and so no addition would be viable on that particular piece of construction or that facility.
And those facilities also currently have the mobile portable classrooms, which are a safety concern at this point.
They are. First of all, they're inefficient. We have re-roofed and so forth, but how much money do you spend in something that was to be temporary, and that was approximately 20 years ago or so that those were put into place, and it is a safety concern. You have kids coming and going throughout the day at two of our locations, and there are no restrooms in those buildings, and they must come and go throughout the day. And you know, we would like to downplay the safety issue, but we know that it's an international problem. It's not simply exclusive to the United States, but there are many issues that if people do a little research that they find out that a portable itself, we can't guarantee what might or might not happen in that type of a setting.
So back to the field, the football field, again, optional is the key on this one at this point in time. And I think that's been one that I've been hearing a lot about. Why do a football field? Why do we need a new football field?
Right. And, you know, as an educator, as a concerned citizen, as a parent, I'm a little disturbed at times when some people talk about the current football program. we are not in the business of preparing students to go into the NFL. We are in the business of preparing students to become viable adults, whether it's an adult in this community or if they choose to go elsewhere. Certainly, we hope that they will decide to come back here and be a contributing member of this particular community. But that's what this field is about. It's providing a program. And whether it's football, there are so many other activities as well. We have a lot of kids. We have several hundred each year that are involved in track and in that particular area of sports. But then we have a growing band program, and we know that they could use that facility as well. So in reality, the possibilities are endless. It's just a matter of, are we willing to be forward-thinking in our approach?
And David, I promise we're going to get to you, but Dr. Roach, one more thing before we talk to David for a moment. Let's break down some numbers real quick, because bottom line is always the bottom line. If I've heard that, that's just an everyday saying we hear all the time in the business world. What's it going to cost? What's it going to cost? What's it going to mean for me? And, and there's a lot of misconception out there about that.
There sure is. You know, what we encourage everyone, go to the district's website, and if you will look about halfway down the page where it has an icon of the middle school building and so forth, go to that page. There are a lot of questions and answers that can be provided by going to that. But if you go to the tax calculator, everyone can find out how this will impact them individually. If someone is uncertain, call the central office, and we will have someone sit there and work through the process with them, because this is not a gotcha whatsoever. This is about giving people the facts so that they know how this will impact them individually. But it is 48 cents per $100 of assessed value. That's not the resale market value of a house. It's the assessed valuation. So you have the various deductions that you can take from there. What many people don't recognize or realize is the fact that over the last 10 years, the school district's AV has grown 20%. So that 48 cents could change over time. You know, and there is a strong hope that with Washington being one of the four counties within the state of Indiana that's projected to see growth over time, and with our proximity to 69, we have an opportunity to potentially grow this community. And if that happens, that 48 cents, we would see that impact lessen over a period of time. You know, we don't have a crystal ball, we can't guarantee, but so many things are aligning that would say this is a great time to do something. And if we wait, we have the property, we'll have to return, and because the problems are not going to disappear. But the fact is, it will cost more over a period of time, or the same amount will give us less structure when it's all said and done.
One other question I heard is, why the new middle school versus the high school? Why did you not choose to work on the high school?
We have space. You know, the fact is, our high school, it was built as a high school to try to adapt it to whether it's a middle school or an elementary school. I lived in that as a teacher in an old high school, and they don't adapt well to elementary settings whatsoever. But the cost of a new high school would be significantly more than what this middle school would be. In fact, it would require, whether it was, you know, a gym, an auditorium. Auditoriums, and I'm speculating here, but are going to run somewhere around $6 million, that type of thing. But a high school traditionally is known to cost more per square foot.
So when it's down to it, if you're going to do it right, so we don't get back in the same predicament they were many, many years ago.
You know, I have heard so many people that have been lifelong residents of this school community that say now is the time to do this and to do it right. And that, you know, that is the legacy that we want to give to these children and their children in generations to come, is to put something in place that is done right, so that we haven't put them in a situation that they've got to scratch their head and fix our problems.
Very well said. All right, David Stowers is a member of the community, of course, and also a proud dad of three Washington Community School students. David, thank you for joining us this morning. Let's give the business aspect, the community member side of it. Why are you so backing this Yes for Washington push?
Yes, thank you. You know, what got me started with the program and started with the school looking into it. My own children are going through North Elementary. Great school to be at. But at those early ages, the kindergarten, first grade, second grade levels, the class sizes. And, you know, at that time, several years ago, I said, there's got to be something that can be done to help alleviate this. And then getting into it and talking to Dr. Roach, you know, there was this other avenue we are looking at. Hey, we're looking at this. And so it's kind of swelled up to where we're at now, to we're actually moving forward. And to the board's benefit, you know, there is a vision. And it's a bit of a vision that's kind of evolved over time from when we first started, like Dr. Roach had said, to where we're at now. And it's a vision that I think allows for that future growth, allows for expansion of educational opportunities, and really focuses on helping the grade school along with the high school, because you're eliminating pressure off both. And so, you know, from the business side of it and from the economic development side of it, you know, I sit on the Chamber of Commerce Board. And, you know, we have, as a chamber board, we've endorsed this project. You know, when you look at it from the economic impact that, you know, what a facility like this can do for the community, you know, it's hard to put a price tag on it. You just know that it's going to have a positive economic impact, whether it's by additional individuals moving to the community or being able to host a variety of different events. So, you know, other communities have a whole tourism division focused on youth activity tourism.
So important, absolutely. And David, you being as well a taxpayer, that this is going to affect. Let's face it, you know, nobody likes to hear that they're going to have their taxes increased. We all know that, right? But you look at it as an investment. Is that what you're saying?
You know, absolutely. You know, when you look at, like you said, you don't want to downplay the financial impact that people are going to, you know, shoulder in this facility. But there again, you outweigh this by what's the cost benefit? You know, what is the benefit to the overall community? Yes, it's going to impact me personally. But when we start looking at it from a community aspect and from a community development and economic and for the future children of the community, you know, that's where that cost, the benefit outweighs that cost.
And on the business side, statistics absolutely show if a new factory or a new business is looking to move into a community, one of the first things they look at is the schooling.
Absolutely.
In that community.
I mean, that's going to be one of the first stops that they make. When they come to town to look and to visit our community, you know, one of the first stops they're going to want to look at is our educational facilities. You know, when new homes are advertised, you know, one of the little blurbs that's always in a new home advertisement is what school district are they located in. And if it's a positive school district, you know, that's going to be one of the first things they list.
And what is your take on the addendum that may be included in the actual sports facility, the football field, if it is added to that?
Yeah, you know, just, you know, to piggyback on what Dr. Roach had said with the athletic side of it, you know, it's more about the overall experience, the overall education that young individuals receive from athletics, and whether that's boys, girls, and traveling to many different schools with my own children in athletics. You know, the facilities that you're drawn to at these other venues, and then we come back and we look at our own, we think, man, you know, we can do better. We can do better. And the economic side of it is, you know, the dollars that are spent, whether it's on the band competitions, great example for that. You know, we have, like you said, a thriving band right now that are traveling to other communities and other schools that have a facility to host these type of competitions. And where we sit geographically, you know, halfway between Indianapolis and Evansville is a prime example, because people from Indianapolis may not like to travel all the way to Evansville, and vice versa. People in Evansville may not like to travel all the way to Indianapolis. And we're in a prime location to be able to really attract some of those key opportunities. And then when you look at the other facilities, whether it's a football or track facility, I'd be happy to give somebody a tour of our facilities, of our track facilities or our football facilities, if there's any questions of why we may need to upgrade those.
Most definitely. Well, what would you say to those, again, that may be on the fence about this right now, David? Again, what is your push to those guys that are just kind of questioning about
Sure.
what this is going to mean?
I think, you know, look around. Other communities have gone through this as well. When you look at other communities that have struggled as far as building projects and looking at it, and it is a difficult decision, but have you ever seen a community that has gone back 10 years later and said, boy, I wish we wouldn't have done this? I wish we wouldn't have been forward thinking, or I wish we wouldn't have done this at that time. You know, that's just never the case. These are difficult decisions, but when they're made and when communities, you know, take that big step, Rarely do they ever say, boy, I wish we would have never have done that. And, you know, you can look at a variety of different communities that have gone through this. And if it's done right, and that's the key there, make sure this is done right. Don't let this be one of those projects that you know, we try to cut back and minimize everything to save some dollars, because this is going to be a legacy. This is going to be something that's, you know, my kids will probably through the system by the time this is done and won't benefit from this at all. But from a community member standpoint, you know, I know the positive impact this is going to have from years on out.
Absolutely. David Stowers, again, a business community member, joining us with the Yes for Washington team. Dr. Roach, is there a $3 million raise in this venture for you?
No, there is not. It is so easy for people to succumb to rumors, and it is not unique to this community. That becomes a part of referendums throughout the state. I've heard it from colleagues elsewhere. And the fact is, we're all about transparency through this process and throughout a construction process if we get to that point. But fact is, that is illegal. And there is not a single person within the school district that will gain financially in doing this. As we say, we get a lot of sleepless nights and we get ulcers and so forth. But we're not doing this for the financial gain whatsoever. We are doing this purely for the kids and for this community. So, no, there is no $3 million. And if there were, we would be giving it back. But it's not permitted by law.
That's absolutely. You're on the administration. Of course, you are on the payroll. But the school board members, they do this for the kids. A lot of those that have run for that seat and on yes. those positions, they're doing it for the kids.
And I give accolades time and again to this school board that they are very child and community focused in their decision making. And this is a perfect example. They are putting themselves out there for this purpose, for helping with the kids and for the future of the community.
So as we wrap this up, guys, we want to give a final opportunity to get everything in there. I know we've covered a lot today. I wanted to make sure, as I've read through, done a lot of research on this, I'm listening to both sides of it to see what the naysayers are saying, what the no folks are saying, and what it's all about, and then hearing your side of it as well. Just in our final minutes here for your final push, I would say, Dr. Roach, if they have questions, back to what you said earlier, if they think that they are going to pay a major, major amount, it may just be them figuring it wrong, please contact you at the central office, right?
Absolutely. You know, we have individuals at the central office that will be more than happy to sit down, whether someone wants to come in or have the conversation on the phone. If they want to sit at home and look at their computer while someone walks them through the process, there again, this is not a gotcha at any point in time. We are intending and always have been to be fully transparent, and we want individuals to be able to make an informed decision.
All right. David, anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, just like Dr. Roach just said, you know, I'd encourage everybody to educate themselves. You know, I don't want to downplay the financial aspect of this at all, but, you know, educate yourself. Educate yourself, whether it's the tax issue, whether it's the educational opportunities, or whether it's the extracurricular activities that this may bring as well. And there's some great resources online. There's also a community meeting that'll be coming up if anybody has any additional questions. But, you know, I respect everybody's opinion regarding this, absolutely. But I also encourage everybody just to educate themselves.
And we have the right to agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
And certainly civility is always number one, first and foremost. We
absolutely
encourage that. No one deserves to be pushed into a corner or anything like that for speaking their opinion, and we definitely don't want to ever see that happen in our small community. So, again, get informed. Let's talk about that. I'm glad you brought it up. The meeting, the forum that you're going to have for those that would like to find out more, when is that going to be?
That will be October 21st. It will be held in the foyer at Griffith Elementary from 6 to 7:30. It's a come-and-go question-and-answer opportunity to sit down individually with individuals if you need to see how this would impact you personally, or to get a better understanding of the scope and progress in getting to this point.
Guys, great information. Again, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming in. We know this is a sticky issue right now in our community, and we've gone through it with other communities as well. It'll all come to an end, and we will make that decision on November 5th at the polls. Right. I guess the last thing we do is get out and vote, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to
get out
and vote.
Early voting has started.
Early voting is underway now. Get out and vote. And again, if you're in the Washington Community School District, you are able to vote on this important topic. If you live in Washington Community School District, it may be the only thing on the ballot, but it is certainly worth your time to go and vote and express your opinion. Well, Dr. Dan Roach, Dave Stowers, our guest with Yes for Washington. Guys, thank you so much. Appreciate your time and educating the folks on Focus on the Community this week.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you.
Focus on the Community presented by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can download a podcast of today's show and previous shows by visiting our website at WAMWAMFM.com. WAMW strives to keep you in touch with your community.